If you don't read your Bible, don't expect a 40-minute sermon can sustain you. Can I have a better amen?
Amen?
There it is. My brothers and sisters, we must become mature enough to bathe ourselves, to feed ourselves spiritually. And that's how we will have a vibrant church. Yes, God placed me here and other leaders to speak in your life as spiritual parents, spiritual elders. But the goal is for you to make it to maturity. And you need to get it. You have to feed your spirit, or you become weak. You become weak spiritually. You must take time. I don't know any other way to say it. You have to eat, or you become carnal Christians. You have to spend time in the Word for the Word, because when you do that, the Word of God will renew your mind. You know, so Thursday morning, I'm reading, all right? We're reading the Word. Thank you for each one of you who, when I asked some of you, I was like, can you do this? So yeah, thank you for everybody who paid the price to just swing by. And even those of you who tap online, you know, I thank you and I bless you for being aware of what we're doing as one. And I pray that the Lord would, you know, just plant that seed in the heart of those who don't get it. And one of the reasons I think we need to do that, we need to be more aware of God's presence. So I was reading Philippians, all right? You know, there's a couple of verses in Philippians that tied up with Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 1, it says, let's read it. Romans 12, verse 1. Let's read it. It says, talks about something about discerning the will of God. In the new NLT, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I love this. It says, I plead with you. So I'm like, I'm begging you, please. I have this charge for you. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. What's the right way to worship God? Not just singing. It's to honor him with our bodies. Now, you know, they say until we go to heaven, the body is weak. The flesh, let me tell you, remind you, there's no desire in your flesh to serve God. You know what you got to do sometimes? Drag the flesh. Hey, Ricardo, you coming. Oops. Did I break it? Sorry. So let's pretend this is the flesh, all right? You got to, Ricardo, you coming, all right? You coming to church today, buddy, you coming. So let your spirit man lead you. Remember I told you, don't try to fit God in your day, because you realize 30 years past, you never have time. You have to be intentional. Don't look for, if you're looking for excuse to serve God, the flesh will give you plenty. Too tired. It's too cold. I hope I didn't break this. Because we really need them. We need more. Then we'll deal with that later. But, you know, this is verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God. Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. So now I'm going to pull it up in a different version to see what it says. Maybe like the New King James, see what it says. It says the same thing, but let's just, for the sake of using different words, or the English Standard Version. Maybe some of you have the NIV. It's good to read many different versions, all right? But this verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? Help me out. How? By the renew. You guys remember? Jerry, you probably remember this because you work with computer. Do you remember the floppy disk? The 3.5 floppy disk in computer? Five and quarter. Yeah, that was, yeah. And you remember when one was full? And back in the days when computer just came out, I started learning computer with MS-DOS. And then Windows 95. That was my first couple of things. And then, of course, we had the 5.75 and the 3.5 floppy disk. There's nothing like, I mean, they were expensive back then. There's nothing like having a full floppy disk or having a floppy disk that was being used for a certain program. There's nothing like being able to reformat it. See, now reformatting a scan disk, you know, those little thumb drive. So now in our age, we use thumb drive. Okay, so now let's bring it to the 21st century. So a thumb drive is full. You can't, like, we use thumb drive for our media. When the thumb drive is full, you know what needs to happen? Help me out. It needs to be reformatted for new stuff. So when you go deep in this word here, it says, be reformatted. Renewed mind means the old, listen, you erase the old stuff. So therefore, I don't think like a Haitian anymore. I don't think like American anymore. I don't think like Puerto Rican anymore. You know what takes place? Heaven downloads. I hope you get what I'm saying. So then now I'm running a program. Which program I'm running? The heavenly downloads. Heavenly thoughts, heavenly behavior. Now, I'm going to take an example. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, Robert and I. Something very funny. Now, who in the world came up with this idea that if two guys holding hands, it's wrong? What makes it wrong? Why is it wrong? Come here, son. Why is it wrong, our culture? Now, it's not wrong, but why? Why would I feel, because that happened to me one time. I went to New York. I was, my first trip actually here in America, it was in 2021. So we went to, our family went to upstate New York to celebrate Kendra's 50th parents, grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. That was my first trip to America. I had culture shock. So here we are with a bunch of guys. We went, you know, we went to the store. So then I was just walking with a guy like this. I went and grabbed his hand and he's like. But think about it. What make me and my son go walking outside or going to Walmart like this? What makes it so wrong? What makes it so wrong for me to be like, me and my son, you know, we walking, you know? What makes it so wrong? Think about that. Thank you, buddy. And then, of course, there's no way if I'm going to go on a motorcycle, I'm like, hey, Robert, you want to go on a bike ride? He's like, yeah, sure, you sit in the back. There's no way. Because we allow culture to tell us what's wrong or what's not wrong. When really we are beloved, when our mind is changed, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, even for me, to treat the young girls in the church as my sister. I mean, notice some of you, I begin to call you Mama Intel, Papa Intel, because I'm like, you know what? Some of you could be my parents. So I'm like, man, I've got so many mothers. How awesome. That's a new revelation. I am so covered because, you know, the mama chicken is not going to let the little chicks be eaten by anybody like that. So I am so blessed with so many mamas and papas here. So our mind, when our mind is being renewed, and the word renewed here is not just adding kingdom things on top of your stuff. It's that floppy disk, that thumb drive you put in the computer and you do alt control delete. Oh, now that's bad. That's old stuff. You remember, Jerry? That's old stuff. Now we go to, where do we go? We click right on the thumb drive and we say clean. There's a couple ways to do it. Now, say not us computer guys, we know exactly what we're doing, what we're thinking about. But that, I want to put that picture in your mind. When the Bible talks about being renewed, that your mind is renewed, it's more like the old stuff is erased, deleted. Now, I download all new stuff, and where that does that stuff come? In the Word. And that's how you become kingdom-minded. That's how your thought, even your interaction with people, even the way you love people. Because, you know, sometimes you must give tough love. God gives us tough love. You know, we think, well, God is so love. Yeah, God so loved the world. But every principle, every promise in the Bible God has over us or for us comes with a principle. For example, how many of us here would like to live long life? Yes. Amen. Yeah. 120. Hallelujah. If my back don't give out, you know, my ears don't stop working. Yeah. We all want to live a good, prosperous, healthy life. Amen. Yes. What's wrong about wanting to do that? Wanting to live a long life. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, children, honor your parents, because if you do, if you honor and respect your parents, that opens the doors of your life, God's blessings for you to have a good life. Oh, I mean, there's another one. How about forgiveness? You know, release bitterness. Don't harbor anger in your life. You know, those are principles that open God's blessings in our lives. Are you with me? Well, you know, Romans chapter 12. So then it says, this is truly the way to worship. And then verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed or be reformatted by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. But I like how the new NLT says, it says, but let God reformat your mind. Reformat you into a new person by changing the way you think. Oh Lord, please. And some of us, I tell you, we think very bad. Our thoughts are bad. We think bad about people. You remember? I told you, instead of seeing the cup half empty, start seeing half full. Instead of seeing the bad in somebody, what we call people, I tell you, oh, guys, the Lord has delivered me in the past month with that. I'm calling people up. It's like I discarded nobody as, you remember that story in Acts chapter 10 with Peter, when Peter had the vision and there's all kinds of animals, and the Lord, there's a voice that says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, I don't touch anything unworthy. And God says, do not discard what I call worthy. Don't call them unworthy. Now remember, God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave Jesus, and he would still give Jesus for your unbelieving friend. God would still give Jesus for the worst murderer in this world. And as a matter of fact, Father God is like this with his arms open. This is, we are in a season of grace where people need to experience God's grace. But yet, if they don't answer to God's grace, judgment is coming. And no one wants to face God's judgment. So, I tell you all this in introduction to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is so huge. Among, you know, with everything else you're reading, you know, whatever else you're reading, I encourage you, keep spending time in the book of Ephesians. It's like, it gets so much. The more you study it, it's like God is infinite. The word of God, there's no limit to it. So spend time in the Bible. Because then, when you know what happened? When you are abiding in the word, then you bloom. You bear fruit. You bear good fruit. And then when we come together, you know how awesome it is when we are growing in the Lord? It's just good. I leap for joy when they tell me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know, canceling coming together is never an option in my list. It's not on my list. If I don't show up, I can't show up. Why? Because I can't wait to go to heaven. Just think about it. I actually heard a preacher, I don't know his name, he said, I heard him saying that. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get Christians who have issues with going to church or fellowship with the saints. If your hope is to go to heaven, what do you expect? When we go to heaven, what are you going to do? We're not taking this flesh. We're going to be in God's presence. David said it. It's like, man, one thing I ask of the Lord is that I may dwell in where? In his house. So, and I told you, I have no idea how long we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. Next week, Robert's going to continue for me because I'll be in Eagle Point Church teaching next Sunday. But I want to touch on a couple verses in chapter 1. Let's say chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. For example, it says, furthermore, because you are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything worked out according to his plans. God's purpose was that Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. Should underline that. So how did God identify you with himself as his own? Is by the Holy Spirit. You are born again by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't stop there. That's why you must be filled every day with the Holy Spirit. Just like you shower, there's another example. You shower every day. That's a sign of maturity. A child, once again, doesn't care if you bathe them, but some of us shower twice a day. Take a shower in the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get under the river of the Holy Spirit. I want you to, next time you step in your shower, I want you to, as the water is flowing, this warm water, thank God for warm water. You know, especially in the season of winter. Thank God for that. But as you showering, washing your dirt off your physical body, you know, you pray, you say, God, let your rain fall on me. Come on, guys. Because then when you live in such a way, you know what happened? You become aware more of what God is doing in your life. Then this terrible person trying to cut you off in traffic. We must have the mind of Christ. So God stamped us. It's like, hey, I choose you. I pick you. Don't think you choose God first. You see, that desire you have, thank God. That's why you should never judge others. People in the world, it's in their nature to be bad. It's in their nature to hate each other. It's in their nature to be, you know, the way the world is. But us, who are called citizens of heaven, we've been stamped by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love that. Furthermore, because you are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance. You know, and you know, one of the key subject in the book of Ephesians is Paul revealed God's plan. You know, God's plan for humanity is not a mystery. What's the plan? We know it. What is the plan? Is that every heart would come to him. Every heart would come to know him. We have received an inheritance from God. You know? And when you read the New Testament, you can realize Paul always talk about this great salvation. I mean, there's nothing we could have done to earn God's grace. That's why I challenge you and encourage you. Give grace to others. It's not easy. Especially to the unlovable ones. Give grace. Right now we live in a time where everybody wants grace. I need more grace. And the more grace I get from God, the more grace I must spread around. Give grace, my brothers and sisters. Here's a cross-reference, Romans chapter 6, chapter 8. You can write that down. You don't have to go there. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "For his spirit joined with our spirit to affirm that we are child of God, children of God." I remember when I was growing up, of course, I wasn't born again, but the culture, the kind of church culture I was growing in, you never say you were saved. So if somebody would be like, "Are you saved?" I'd be like, "You know, I'm working at it." That was the answer. "Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you saved? Do you know? Are you born again? Are you saved?" I'm like, saved? Who can say they're saved? You see, that's the enemy keep people in the church in such confusion. Because you're either born again or you're not. You're either going to heaven, right? You're either gonna make it or you won't. You either have your passport or you don't. Let's say you have your passport. On that trip to Japan, man, I tell you, you get me excited about Japan now. We either have the ticket to go to Japan or you don't. I can't be like, "Yeah, I'm going to Japan next month." Well, am I taking steps to go to Japan? Japan? If I'm going to take steps, I'm going to start looking up tickets, start talking to Sam and Laurie, see if they can go back with me, because they've been there already. Then I'll have to figure out where to go. You know? Guys, you're either going to make it. It says here, "The Spirit of the Lord bear witness to your spirit that you're born again." You're either in or you're not. How many in people we have here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, now, with such expectation, the Bible says we live a pure life. So we live as chosen ones. So I don't live for Ricardo. I live for Jesus. I have a debt. I love that. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says that. You have a debt. You're in debt, but you don't owe the body. You owe the spirit. So when the body is trying to collect, I'm like, "I don't owe you." And you know the body is good at collecting. It's good. Here's another cross-reference. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29 says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Amen? So I believe in Jesus Christ, so therefore I have become a child of God. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ. Oh, I like that. I almost bought my robe. I have a big robe at the house I wear. It says you put on Christ. I'm going to use this jacket. You put on Christ, you know. I want you to put this in your mind. All right? You put on Christ. This is what you do. You put on Christ, okay? You put on Christ. Oh, man, this is good. It's warm. It's awesome. I might keep it. You put on Christ. Oh, better not break the zipper. What did I do? I put on Christ.
I want you to remember this. Put on Christ. Don't I look good? They're like, no, it's too big. My brothers and sisters, you put on Christ. This world out there needs Christ. Christ, Jesus, God's not going to sit angels down in VB. He wants to use you, Drew. He wants to use you there. Linda, he wants to use you there where you're at. So put on. Don't take Christ off. Put on. Leave him on. Because what? Galatians chapter 3, right? It says put on Christ like putting on new clothes. You know, I love the Bible. Sometimes I think we read the word too fast. You know, we read it too fast. Some people can capture a lot by reading a lot. But I think there is, especially this season, just spending time. I'm reading other things in the Bible as well. But just spending time in the book of Ephesians more. I mean, yeah, it's been a couple weeks. I'm like, I'm reading this in Ephesians. I'm like, wow, it comes alive every week. But once again, we put clothes on every day. And I want you to keep that in your mind. As you put your clothes on, are you wearing Christ? When people encounter, when I face trial and tribulation, when they accuse me, when they say things that are not true about me, what is my reaction? You know, when things doesn't go the way I kind of expected it to go, what is my reaction? But once again, if for those of you who visited my office, I have a sign in my office that says, it's saying everybody knows, what would Jesus do? It's like, wow. When I face a situation, I'm like, well, Jesus, what would you do? What would you do? There is this movie, one of my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's a kind of a Christmas movie, right? It's a Wonderful Life. So then the kid, what's his name? George. In that movie, George is facing a situation, right? He didn't know what to do when the guy was giving the poison in the poison thing. If you don't watch it, haven't seen it, go watch it. So it's a good movie. So then he was just like, man, what to do? And then there's a sign in front of them says, ask Dad. Ask Dad. Guys, ask Dad. He knows best. He knows the future. Sometimes we're stuck, we don't know what to do. You ask Dad. Of course, you ask your Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. But also, that's why God put others in your life. Who can speak in your life? Who's your covering? Who's your, I mean, I'm not saying this because I don't want to be anybody's pastor, but I'm your pastor. You know, because sometimes people can use that to be like, well, who's your pastor? Kind of get people under them. No, we all under Christ. But who can speak in your life saying, Ricardo, I want you to do this? And I have people like that in my life. People that can call me up. People that I can call be like, you know, man, it's crazy, man. It's just, I don't get it. I don't want to do it. But those people can speak in my life to call me up. Here's another coursework verse. With Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 4, it says, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Oh my God, I love this. So because we are God's children, you know what he did? He gave you his spirit. The spirit of his son he sent in our hearts. And then you know what the spirit does? Prompting us to call God Abba, Father. You know, you guys know it probably. They say most of the majority of the time, when a family, a husband and wife, has a kid, the first word that usually come out of the kid's mouth is dada, papa. And do you know that the majority of the time, statistics shows that the identity of a child comes from his father, the father. Mm-hmm. A father is super important in the life of a kid. The Spirit of the Lord comes in our hearts, prompting us to call God Father. Colossians, there's another verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in his inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. I like that. And what? Transferred us. Where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. So once again, I'm gonna say it. Stop thinking like Haitians. Stop thinking like Haitians. Your citizenship is from heavenly. Is heavenly. So those thoughts, remove them. And as a matter of fact, you know what it says? Let me see. Let's go there. And then I'll wrap with this. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Right? Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Man, you know how much our mind needs to be renewed? Because a lot of time, depending on what the situation we find ourselves in, the first thought that comes in our mind is not truth. And it's crazy how much my mind is so tuned toward the lies. You know how easy it is to believe the lie of the enemy? It's so easy to believe that you're worth nothing. You know, some people, it's like somebody was speaking. I don't know how it is here. In our culture where I grew up, sometimes the parents, depending on what they're feeling, that's what, whatever their circumstances, that's how they name their kids. For example, I know parents who name their kids misery, suffering, sadness. Nothing. Now, I'm not joking, guys. This is real. Parents, for example, my dad's name is God is severe. I pray for my father. I pray that someday he would come bend his knees to God so he doesn't lose his soul. But you know, when I sat down and talked to my grandmother and some of my aunts and find out, okay, so tell me about my grandparents. Give me the stories, and we can join. We ask questions. We realize, man, they saw God as this severe God. They saw God as not loving. So then, of course, in the middle of their circumstance, when they had my dad, they say, you know what? I'm gonna call him severe God. You know, a guy like that who grew up in an environment of rejection, not wanted, he needs a miracle. And the more we, as you know, grown-up siblings, his kids, we're like, I'm getting it. I'm like, wow, the guy needs a miracle. He's got nothing else to offer but hate. He even thinks God hates him. Guys, you see the seed, even his parents so in his life. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You know, I had my aunt calls me the other day. They're like, Ricardo, how did your mom live with your dad? His sisters now are having a taste. I said, God have mercy about my dad. He needs mercy. I pray for him more now. Because I'm like 78 and still... still, I pray for him. Fix your thoughts on what is true. I said, it's a lot easier for people to believe the lies, especially what was spoken on them. You know, your words creates even stuff you talk over your life, stuff you talk over your kids. You know, start seeing people in the way you want them to be. That's something I've learned from Kendra. You know, she's like, well, let's start seeing them. I remember certain situations, she's like, no, let's not talk that. Let's not talk that. He was like, man, such a loser. Yeah, they are losers, but I'm going to speak the contrary. Because your words create. Because you're standing in the gap. You're like, they're such a winner. And it's like, what are you talking about? Which winner are you talking about? I'm speaking it. Now, do we have faith enough for that? Or we're just going to be remain in this earthly mindset that they're losers. They're miserable. I begin to talk over my dad. Man, he's a good man. Will I see it? God, I hope I do. But right now, more so, I feel like I have this burden over my heart now because I'm like, man, 78? You would think. Now his only hope, they want to buy a ticket and ship him to Haiti. Send him down. Because they're done. All the sisters saying, how did your mom live with him for all these years? And some of them were mad at my mom for being like, we're done. I'm done. My mom left. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable. And that's what I want us, that's the culture I want us to live. I don't know what situation right now you need to believe God's truth. Instead of believing the lies of the enemy. Fix your thoughts on what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about those things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. I like that. Put in practice. Put in practice everything you learn from me. Everything you heard from me. Man, look at this. What a testimony. And that's the way we should live our life. Three things here. Paul's like, come on. It's not about hearing, but what you saw me doing. See, people are watching you. Whether you're aware of it or not, people are watching you. They're watching your consistency. The world is watching. You know, the world, they live in darkness, yet they know what someone who is in the light on the other side, they know how they should be. That's why I thank God that he's raising up a remnant. People who are sick and tired of religion. People who are sick and tired just playing church. But we can be really genuine in our walk with the Lord. Amen? And this is just, I was studying Ephesians and I'm like, okay, this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, I want to go back to it again. And this is just a couple verses. I can't wait to go back to get to the, you know, the gifts, like the, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts. We need to teach those to understand. When Paul talks about God give the fivefold ministry gifts to equip the saints. When you live in a kingdom environment, it's okay to have a teacher in the church. Like Robert or other people. It's okay to have an evangelist in the church. You can find the fivefold ministry gifts in a local church. Because we're not here to compete with each other. You know, me as a pastor, I'm looking for the prophet. Where's the prophet? Who is even an evangelist? We need outreach. We need to reach out to those people out there. We need strategy. I don't have the strategy. I have strategy to tend for your soul. But I'm looking for an evangelist. So now when God sends us an evangelist, he comes with his ideas, kingdom ideas. He's not going to be a threat to me. Because when God is at work, the fivefold ministry gifts can work together. You see, and that's one thing the church, so many times we miss, because even the pastors, because of course it starts with us. We are responsible for the church. But then if my confidence is not in the Lord, when somebody, anybody who come in able to teach maybe a little different than I am, then I start seeing them as a threat. And you know me as the authority, or the guy as the authority, you know what they're going to do? They're going to crush them. Nope, this is my pulpit. What are you going to come here and preach? It shouldn't be like that. It's not my church. We are God's masterpiece. And what he's doing with us, he's doing it to advance his kingdom. So, I challenge you, spend more time in the book of Ephesians. Isn't it rich, the book of Ephesians? Let's sing "The Lord is my shepherd," and then we'll pray a blessing and over your life. Let's just declare that again. Alyssa, come. Well, you probably weren't ready for that. The Lord is my shepherd. No, let's stand up. Let's read Psalm 23 again. You know, you don't have to sing it. Put it on the board for me. I know some of you might be know it. Let's read that as a blessing, and then we'll wrap this time this morning. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Whatever version, you can just put it on the screen. We just pray it together, declare it together. And as you go forth from this place, you walk as a beloved one of God. You love as someone who belongs to God, you know, because he is your shepherd. Are you getting it or not? Well, then let's open our Bibles in Psalm 23. All right. Let's open our Bibles in Psalm 23. I was going to do it on the screen, that way we all can have the same version of the Bible. But thank you, Lord. Thank you.